Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. Yesterday, we told you about the sad story of a circus, unfortunately, a circus tent that crushed people and ended up killing two. Depressing. I remember expressing on the air how much I liked as a kid going to the real circus where it was out in the middle of a field somewhere. And this was the case, and it was high winds ultimately. We believe, anyway, that led to what happened. Here's the marshal with more on that story. I thought you should hear it.
The circus did not have a place of assembly permit, and that's one of the things that we're looking into.
So is that a criminal violation, potentially?
We need to look at the statute in detail before I can say whether it falls into that category or not.
And what about a building permit? Is that required here in New Hampshire?
This town does not have a building official, so the only time that a building permit would kick in if there was a local ordinance for that, so there's no building official in the town of Lancaster.
How is the circus allowed to perform here without a place of assembly permit? How does that happen?
They just went and set up and did it. I don't know what else to tell you on that.
Given the weather warnings, should this show have been stopped?
The weather warnings were out there, and those interviews will tell how much they knew of those weather warnings. I don't know how much detail they had in regards to the weather.
But shouldn't they have enough information to make a decision about this? Isn't that part of what their responsibility is to the show here?
Well, their responsibility is for the safety of their guests, and whether they knew or not that the storm was coming, we'll be looking into that.
All right, so that was the state fire marshal, William Deganen, who was talking specifically. You heard there that what happened was two people died from blunt force trauma. It was 41-year-old Robert Young and his 8-year-old daughter, Annabelle. How sad is that? Taking her to the circus. 100 people were inside the tent when it came down. Happened over the weekend. You heard him say they didn't have a place of assembly permit, and there was nobody locally or state-wise that was involved in putting up the tent. Wow. I mean, how awful is that? So these people go to this circus thinking that we're going to the circus. Weather wreaks havoc with it, but there was no permits, nothing in place anyway to make sure it was safe. They say the National Weather Service, which you heard a question there from a reporter, had issued a severe thunderstorm warning about 23 minutes before the collapse. And then all those people, of course, were in there, and obviously the circus canceled a couple of their shows. They were headed to Vermont after that, and they canceled those. So, I mean, unbelievably sad that a man takes his young daughter, to the circus, and that happens. And perhaps they'll be more cautious about that and look for permits, and the state of New Hampshire will do something about that to make sure that you don't have people setting up circuses just whenever, okay, boom, we're going to do it. And they don't have to worry about whether or not they're in up to code or up to snuff or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. All right, I'm going to kind of move in a few different directions. We know that the big debate is coming up on Thursday. We know the 10 that are in it. We've been talking about it. If you just tuned in, we know what the cut line is for that. There's going to be an earlier debate, too, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But I wanted to give us a shot of joy. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. How about a shot of joy into this show? We need it, right? About Katie Ledecky, who the 18-year-old Maryland native who accidentally broke her own world record, did this on Monday in the 1,500-meter freestyle. So it was a preliminary heat at a championship, the FINA World Swimming Championships in Russia. And she just, you know, she didn't put her foot off the gas, so to speak. I guess that's the way to put it. And she said afterwards, because she had no idea, that she was in shock. That it was. She said, it's the coolest world record I've broken. Each one's unique. But just sort of how relaxed I was and how calm, I think breaking that record is just testament to the work I've put in the shape that I'm in right now. And you got to love that, right? She finished her swim at 15:27.71, a half second better than the record that she set at the Pan Pacific Championships in Phoenix last year. So good for her. That she's so quick and she swims for us. That's a good sign. She's 18. She's the next great hope. And this is why I'm calling this, you know, a shot of joy. She is the next great hope for American swimming. She won her first Olympic gold medal at the 2012 Summer Games. She was 15 in London. So now at 18, she still has a lot left in the tank. And, oh, that's great news, I think. Great news. All right, on to the world of politics and the fact that now we're sitting at that number, as I said, of 10, and it's what you would expect, really, of who would make the cut if it had to do with how they did in polls and also trending media wise and that kind of stuff. So is there any doubt that, you know, in looking at the who's in the debate as they set up for primetime on Fox, that's where it's going to be, from 9 to 11 Eastern time, that you've got Donald Trump, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and Ohio Governor John Kasich. So those made the cut. And then on the earlier debate, you'll have Rick Perry, former Texas Governor Rick Perry, former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. They'll be in a separate debate at 5 o'clock. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal's there, former HP head Carly Fiorina, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, former New York Governor George Pataki, and former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore. So that's how the breakdown is. And like I said, it's pretty much exactly as we would suspect. Because especially with the way that Trump is trending, Trump was going to be on that stage all along. And then you heard the others that I mentioned, the senators, the three senators, of course. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to watch it unfold since it's the first one. We haven't had that much excitement pumped into what's going to happen wide open because we've had now our third back-to-back president that was reelected. So now it's wide open, essentially, on both sides of this thing. It certainly does not feel like it, but essentially it is. And here's a downer for Hillary Clinton, although there is a lot of pressure as the FBI is seriously digging into the security of Clinton's email server. They started that investigation, and an attorney for Hillary Clinton is confirming that. Yes, we're giving them everything. We're cooperating. We gave them batches and batches of classified sections. Stay with us. More coming your way next. Dumb Things.
Salió del sórdido barrial buscando el cielo. Conjuro extraño de un amor.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guys, I'm so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while, but once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
What's happening?
Oh, man, I got problems.
What was you going last night with that pussy name?
I told that woman I was going to tell her.
What's wrong with you? You got chances on.
Oh, man, I ain't got no money. I'm walking barefoot and I've got a whole lot of things happening with me. Sure, I've been chuckling.
Fuck.
Now, in my bed.
Coming up in just a few minutes here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, we're going to rock into dumb things I shouldn't have done. And this has become a really fun and popular segment here on the show. We love it because we can all relate. It's all about being human, right? So in our humanness, not a word, I don't think I invented it, we stumble and bumble, and we all do it no matter what. No matter if you're listening to me and you are a neuroscientist, or you're listening and you're just a ham and egger like the rest of us, it doesn't matter. We all have that in common. We all have that in common. I just want to comment on one thing. How hot is it right now for some of you across the United States? I talked to my friends in California, and they're on cracked earth, waiting and praying that they get some more rain. They've had a little bit of rain, but certainly not enough, and we're seeing the wildfires in Northern California. Let me tell you, at the satellite facility in Dallas, here's what the weather looks like. Yeah. If I sound exhausted on the air, here's what the weather is like. Thursday, Friday, through the weekend, 106 degrees. Next Monday, it is predicted 108 degrees. But then I think of the people who are serving still in Iraq, people that we have over there, and they're talking about temperatures, you know, that are off the charts, that are like 150. It feels like 150, so everybody has the day off with the heat index. Yeah, that's hot. All right, time to roll into dumb things.
Dum 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 dum.
The third agency of government. Yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry. Oops.
Dum 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 dum.
Dum dum.
Pure Brilliance by Nathan Reeder. That is, shows he's paying attention. That's Rick Perry, who is in that the Kids Table event at 5 o'clock Eastern on Fox in the other group running for president. And you saw him stumble there last time around. He was had a chance to redeem himself, as Luke Vargas told us, in New Hampshire. And he kind of stepped around that question, too, as well. Oh, well. Again, dumb things. All right, so here's our first one. This one is from Joey. And he says, hey, Kate. Hey, Nate. Hey, the rest of the crew there in America tonight. I'm really digging what you guys do. But I think the funniest thing is dumb things. Dumb things. Oh, where do I begin? I guess this might be the dumbest thing I've done. So my wife and I were coordinating when I was picking her up from the airport, and she's one of these kind of women that she expects you to be there when she steps off the plane, no matter what. Her patience is, let's say, on a scale of 1 to 10, a negative 10. So I'm always there. I know when her plane's coming in. I think I know when her plane's coming in. Only I get it confused. I think she's coming in, Kate, at 9:30 in the evening. And, you know, we have these devices. We had been going back and forth. It turned out she was coming in at 9:30 in the morning. The problem was my cell phone was buried in my golf bag. I was playing around the golf with my buds. So my wife was not too happy. She stepped off the plane. I wasn't there. She waited and blew up my phone, called, texted, and everything else. And, of course, I wasn't touching it. I was instead playing with the golf ball and having fun. So needless to say, she had to cab it home. We don't live that close to the airport. She wasn't happy with me. It is a dumb thing. I didn't know the AM from the PM. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, my friend. When you do a show like this and you have time zones galore, lots of things happen concerning time, and people get confused. I get confused, yes. But the airport thing, no, that's not good. If I'm going to get picked up from the airport, I have more patience than your wife does, but I would not like that either, especially if the airport's not close, which it's not close for me. So if I, my husband is always there. If he wasn't, one, I would be worried, oh, something must have happened. And then you'd start that whole dance of, well, do I take a cab? Do I get someone else to pick me up? Do I, you know, there's ways to get away from, you know, get out of the airport, but how much are you hanging around when you can't get in touch with a person? It makes me wonder how, when we didn't have cell phones, how do we ever connect? How do we ever get off of our flights and get picked up when all we have is pay phones or those giant box phones? But you had to have a ton of money to get those giant box phones. I don't know. Anyway, I understand. I feel you. That's awful. The whole airport thing is a debacle anyway. All right, so this one from Christopher. And Christopher says, my dumb thing is that I took a beautiful, fabulous woman out on a first date. I was so excited. Kate, it took me, you would not believe how long it took me to ask her out. And I finally asked her out. She said yes. I couldn't have been more thrilled. I picked out the restaurant, set it up, picked her up. Everything was going smoothly until the bill came. And my credit card, I had one. You know, I don't believe in credit cards, but I have one. I have a debit card. Debit card I left at home. Credit card should have been fine. But it wasn't. Something was weird with the credit card, and it was, I couldn't convince them that it wasn't weird, so she had to pay for the dinner. So I'm going to say that was a dumb thing. I learned my lesson. Since I'm not a credit card person, I should have had the bills, if you know what I mean, in my wallet. Oh, that would be such an awkward moment. Oh, that would be so awkward. Now, the sad thing is you have to write us back and let us know how it all turned out. Did you go out again? Was she nice about it? What did you do? But, yeah, that would be brutal if that happened. You know, you're feeling around, I don't have any other cards. And then especially if it's a first date, because you couldn't have known each other that well. So, you know, then it's like, okay, you order this stuff and you have one credit card and it doesn't work. So then the question could become, well, gee, no debit card, no cash, or not enough cash. I feel that. I feel for you there, too. I feel for you. I just feel for you. I don't know what to say. That's sad. I want to know the outcome of that. All right, let's go to another one. This one from a woman. This one from Joyce. Joyce in Jersey. That's what she writes to. Joyce in Jersey. Kate, my dumb thing is one you might relate to. I don't know. And maybe it's not that dumb, although it did cost me some money. I heard you mention that you were at the Jersey Shore. I, too, have gone to the Jersey Shore. In fact, each year my family goes. I had all the grandkids and the kids and everybody with me. I had purchased beach tags for everybody. You know, they cost a lot when you start to talk about a big family. We had 14 people with us. I left the beach tags back at the house. The house was a mile away. So, of course, they checked for beach tags when I was on the beach, and we had to pay up and buy a day pass. So, needless to say, it cost me a little extra money, much more than I thought it should have, because I had those darn passes in my house. Yeah, you know, I don't know if for everybody listening, I know a lot of Floridians are listening. Big shout out to our friends in Sarasota and Arcadia and Jacksonville and some other spots. All beaches are different. So I guess because of the traffic and how many people are on the Jersey Shore beaches, and she didn't say which beach, a lot of them require you to pay. So you have to buy a day pass or you have to buy a week pass or whatever it is, and you just have a little, you know, you just have a little beach tag, and you go down to the beach, and it's on your cover-up or your towel or seat or whatever, you know, the thing you're sitting on. And they do check, but it's so random. And that would be a bummer because I don't know what a day pass is, but it could have been easily $10, $5, whatever. Yeah. Can't even go to the beach anymore where you can just walk on the beach. I don't think most of the Florida beaches, the ones I've been on, they haven't had that. Bonita Springs, Sarasota, Fort Myers, definitely not Miami Beach. Not that I know of, unless that's recently changed. All right, dumb things. I love it, peeps. Keep them coming. You can send me your dumb thing, americatonight.net. Hang through. Rock on. Great job, Nate.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. in these historically dangerous times. It makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. Even very smart, very accomplished people. It's part of being human. A quote taken out of context, a legal problem, an unfortunate photograph. Once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Because people love to dig up dirt, even when it's not real dirt. Put it to rest. Call for a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. Businesses, public figures, and professionals turn to Reputation.com for good reason. We protect your online image by helping make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Learn more about what the experts at Reputation.com can do for you. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What a treat. We have Luke Barkus with us, and believe it or not, he's in New Hampshire. We were talking about Republicans rolling into New Hampshire and what that first rumble, if you will, was like, and everybody's been dissecting it today. And it's interesting, from A to Z, from Chris Christie on down the line, Luke was there. So, Luke, well, first of all, what was it like seeing all of them across the stage? I mean, because this is a whole new ball game here with the Republicans.
I feel like it should have been more energetic. There did seem to be sort of I'm going to hold off on a big sweeping generalization here, because a lot of this had to do with the format. This was a small auditorium. You know, we already can safely say that there's going to be a ton more energy in Ohio, where you've got basically a sports arena being converted into a venue, and that allows for enough supporters of each candidate to get into the upper decks and to cheer when they're not supposed to and give a little life to things. This was a very subdued audience. And in many ways, I think the format of this exchange on Monday evening was such that it just didn't give anyone really time to digest anything that was being said. I mean, I really didn't even have a break to stretch my fingers out between furiously typing up those things that were being said. And if anyone who watched this probably thought it was rather awkward as well. I mean, these candidates would finish up their 4 or 5 minute exchange with Jack Heath, the radio talk show host and moderator of this forum. And then as one guy was walking off stage, someone else would be walking up, their introduction would be playing. And as soon as sometimes before their butt hit the seat, they were getting asked a question. It was really rapid fire, and I'm really not sure how constructive this was in the long term for voters in the state, though it did give us pundits a chance to sink our teeth into the first sort of assessment of the field so far.
Yeah, and what just seemed to be the main attacking point? I heard there was a lot of criticism of Hillary.
I have to say, I was surprised actually at how little there was. The candidate that sort of seemed to jump into the fray the most on that was Carly Fiorina, which, you know, I don't like painting with broad brushstrokes about gender in the race, but one wonders whether or not, you know, she has sort of decided that with her polling being relatively weak after being in this field for a decent amount of time and talking up her biggest strength so far, which is her business experience and not catching fire, if she's decided that going on the attack against Hillary is something she's uniquely positioned to do, that she maybe will not incur as much, you know, criticism as some of the other candidates might if they decide to make some pretty nasty allegations about her. So again, I saw her come out with guns blazing, if you will. Besides that, you know, there was sort of remarkable how little Hillary figured into this and the complete absence of Donald Trump talk. And on that topic, I want to say something that really flew in the face of the conventional wisdom and my prediction about this event, which was that the absence of Donald Trump would create space for other candidates to talk about themselves, to really seize the moment and the airtime and make something of it. And I thought the opposite happened. It really seems striking to me, this perception that over the past few weeks, as these candidates seek out debate preppers and other consultants who act as stand-ins, that they may have been crafting their own campaigns more around Donald Trump than really even understanding who they are in a campaign absent him. And it seemed remarkable to me how little edge any of these candidates had. I really had the impression that their language is being honed for Thursday when he is on stage, and that without him there, they lost the thread a little bit about what makes their campaign unique and edgy in this race. That's not to say that all these candidates, and we can tell by their demeanor, that they're not all going to be going for the big punch between the eyes to Donald Trump. Some of them will hang back. They may wait for a moment to respond to a criticism. They may try to seize an opportunity and try to fire something off at him. But again, I think no matter who it was, from the top to the bottom, they've all realized he's the agenda setter right now, and we need to frame our campaigns around him, perhaps at the expense of perfecting their own narrative.
It's interesting that you point that out, and thank you for that, because I thought that same thing. It was a chance for them to really shine on their own and not worry about the Trump factor. So now I'm very curious as to what's going to happen on Thursday. Scott Walker, part of the mix on a day when the president was choked up and emotional about the Clean Power Plan. He dogged it, right?
He called it the, I think, costly power plan. I mean, yeah, he seemed to be going for the topics du jour, which I actually think, I did talk to some voters who said, oh, it's getting a little tiresome with Scott Walker because he spends a huge share of his time talking about his own record. I mean, he's extraordinarily fluent in the statistics about economics in Wisconsin, et cetera, et cetera. Good for him. I think those details are good. They're nice in a debate when many times when candidates get a little bit lost, they lose their statistical memory and they just start talking in platitudes. So again, I think that's a strength of his in the long run. But again, he risks descending into these sort of strings of just firing off data without much context or reason for why he's the candidate. Though I will point out, as you mentioned, he was talking about the Clean Power Act, or the Clean Power Plan, rather. He also was talking about Planned Parenthood, one of the few candidates that decided to, I think, borrow some of the one-liners that they probably have all canned for Thursday and deploy one on Monday. I mean, when he said, essentially, I decided to cut Planned Parenthood funding before any of these videos came out, you know, that's an ad. That's the foundation of a line he wants to take to the airways, and I'm sure we'll see it very soon. I think Scott Walker, again, maybe didn't give the best performance holistically speaking, but he is showing a willingness to engage with the headlines, and I think that's the kind of thing that debates open up the opportunity for candidates to excel at, so I think he'll do quite well.
They made the cuts today, and it's interesting based on the polls. And Rick Perry, who you saw, is out on this Thursday night deal. What was Rick Perry like?
I thought he was the worst of the candidates on stage by a pretty large margin. And I say that not just based on his performance, which I still think was pretty disappointing, but because of what his campaign needs. He needs to be on that stage because his retail politics is just not strong enough on its own to make up for the lack of continuous national recognition that accompanies debates. He's okay on the stump. I think there have been moderate improvements in, let's say, his speech writing. That's something that he's getting a little extra praise for this time around as opposed to 2012. But there have been promises and articles that are being sent to me by this campaign and to journalists covering the race from the Perry team that say, look, this is Rick Perry 2.0. He wasn't tuned and fully ready in 2012. Now he's back and better than ever. He may have a lot more PAC money behind him, but I don't think any amount of money is going to be able to hold up this candidate if he keeps falling on his face in debates. And he did that right out of the gate, asked very straightforward questions on immigration, an issue where you have to imagine is right in his wheelhouse, you know, dodging specific answers about whether we should reduce legal immigration in the face of an illegal immigration problem, and the softest of softballs, as I've been saying, on which federal agencies he would cut. I mean, it's sort of a chance to redeem himself from 2012. He was prepared with a joke. I mean, it's not as if he got caught unawares. He was ready to make light of this situation. Then he followed it up with over a minute of demurring and not really saying which agencies he cut. And I'm kind of ranting on here, but the Perry thing really stuck out to me. He criticized Jeb Bush. You know, this is, you know, I don't know if that's a violation of the rules. I know one of the things we heard was that this forum was not supposed to have candidates calling each other out. They weren't supposed to engage in a debate-style thing. Rick Perry, whether or not he technically violated that, I think broke from the decorum by calling out and sort of reprimanding Jeb Bush, saying, look, you need to focus on balancing budgets. And in true Perry fashion, he misspoke and called him Joe on the second pass at his name. So, again, I don't see Rick Perry doing himself any favors here, and I don't know how he's going to claw his way back into the top tier of candidates at any of these future debates.
Who do you think did the best overall, having said all that?
Pretty clearly, I think it was the candidates who were off-site. Sort of funny that three senators, Rubio Cruz and Rand Paul, headed down to Washington for that Planned Parenthood vote in the Senate on Monday evening. They still participated, but they did so remotely. And in that regard, I think sitting in a studio at the Senate with black felt walls and no audience and just a lens to look into, they were able to actually string together some coherent statements, some, you know, sort of a eloquence that eluded some of the other top-tier candidates who were there in person. I think Marco Rubio stood out to me. I've been saying this, and I don't mean to imply that, you know, he's the next Obama, but I do think Marco Rubio is approaching the articulation of some sort of grander vision, a type of presentation, a verbal presentation that, if deployed correctly, could be a big asset for him. He was asked a question about economics, and he said, essentially, I understand why people are alienated in America these days. Just look at the economy, for instance. The old patterns are no longer relevant. You've got massive companies like Amazon making billions without having any factories. You've got Uber or with a car company without owning any cars. And you can see why people are reeling with these institutions they used to rely on being very different than they were a generation ago.
Yeah.
I think that reflects a sensitivity and engagement with people's concerns these days. Now, where he takes that is up to him. If he decides to steer that to a policy or a tax reform or something, I think it could be very effective. But again, it's a way of testing out the message. I think it went over well last night, and I'll be very eager to see if Rubio continues to use that kind of language and build upon it on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll look for that. Thanks for pointing that out. Luke Vargas, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, which includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Call 1-800-714-6993. 1-800-714-6993. 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. We've been talking about this Joe Biden thing and whether he's going to jump in or not. The latest is he's taking a huge family vacation and supposedly he's going to make that decision there. We know that he is getting over the tragic death of his son, Beau Biden. But now a lot of conversation about Joe Biden and if he's in, what would that do to Hillary's chances? Gretchen Hamel joins us now. She's the founder and president of High Line Strategies and a contributor to townhall.com. Hey, Gretchen.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing? Good?
Oh, it's fabulous. Nice to be alive, right?
It's a fabulous time to be covering all of this, I'll tell you that. So what do you make of the Joe Biden deal? Are you surprised? Because, you know, there's been lots of hints about Biden, but never anything solid. Do you think he jumps in?
I have a feeling that he was probably going to make a jump at it, or he's going to come really close to saying yes. If you look at earlier this year, he said he wasn't going to. But then, you know, the death of his son, Beau Biden, where Beau apparently made the plea in his last final week that he wanted his father to run. But in addition to that, I think he sees an opening. And right now there wasn't an opening at this time 6 months ago. But Hillary's been on the campaign trail and had a number of stumbles along the way. And now we're starting to see that there's an opening for him. That he's basically the antithesis of Hillary and is everything that is lacking in a Democratic nominee for president right now.
Yeah, you know, what it would be interesting. He jumps into this, so then what does the president do? Because it isn't this kind of, I get the feeling from what I know of Washington and covering this game for so long, that this was kind of the give back to Hillary. Like, okay, now you owe us. And so what would Obama, what position would he be in if you've got Joe Biden, your VP, jumping into this, and then you have Clinton on the other side of it?
I mean, Obama, I could see not really getting into this. I could see him letting this work itself out on its own. I think the president feels like he has an agenda he still wants to get done on Capitol Hill with criminal justice reform and a few other things. But I don't know if he's willing to really wade into this at all. I could see him just sitting on the sidelines and watching it all kind of take place.
Yeah. If you're with the Clinton campaign and you know about running campaigns, are they a little bit concerned about Biden and what's going to happen?
You know, I think they are concerned. And if you look at Politico, which is an Inside the Beltway publication, there's an article up right now that's basically smearing Biden as kind of, you know, saying that he wasn't for segregation and some other things. So I think they're already starting to see, you know, circling the wagons around Biden and trying to, you know, make him question whether he should be running or not. But I think the Hillary campaign is concerned. They know that they have been in trouble when it comes to actually solidifying a lot of the base. You have a new poll come in out that shows that, you know, it's older women who like Hillary. No one else really does. And that she really has some holes in her campaign where someone could, you know, be able to launch into this race and really make a run at it.
So if you were running Hillary's campaign, and what you said is exactly what we've seen in the poll, like you said, that just came out, what would you do to make her more appealing to younger women and millennials just in general?
I mean, I think she has to be able to connect in some sort of way. She's not a very authentic person. Millennial generation is very much open and transparent. Everything that they have is posted on social media in some sort of fashion. They don't really hide away. They are who they are. They embrace people and they accept people. And Hillary is the exact opposite of that. They are calculating. They hold things to themselves and try to protect their image. And at the same time, they aren't transparent. So, you know, she's the antithesis of that. At the same time, you have to look at women as a millennial generation don't really identify with the things that she has done in her marriage. You know, we see and hear people say, how can she know what's going on in the government if she didn't even know what was going on in her own house? And they don't feel like, you know, she's really been, you know, the woman that they thought that could really lead the charge for the movement, the women's movement, that she could have been. In addition to that, you have to look at what's around the corner. And this October, she will be testifying before the Benghazi panel.
Yeah.
And, you know, this has really the opportunity to really go the wrong way for her. So, you know, you have a campaign that's struggling to really identify with voters. You have a campaign that nobody trusts. And that's a key, that is a key element when running for president, is that people have to believe they can trust you, that they can identify with you, and that they are going to be fighting for you. And right now, they don't see that in Hillary.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's switch gears for a second since I have you here, Gretchen, and let's talk about the Republicans, because Thursday is the big night. Trump wasn't there in New Hampshire last night, but he's going to be obviously on the stage and involved. He's one of the 10. And do you think this is all about going to be about kind of let's get Trump, since he's getting so much of the headlines and you've got the other political type people on the stage that might be able to try to take shots at his lack of debate experience and political acumen, if you will?
You know, I think it's really going to be interesting to watch. I'm normally an advising candidates. I always advise that if you're at the top tier of the candidates, if you're the one who's in the front lead, that you go, you be the statesman, you don't get into the fray, you make your points, you sound smart. If you're in the middle, you just stay steady, get a little fast here and there in order to be able to get recognized. We'll show you got a bit of a backbone. If you're polling in low or you're the bottom tier candidates, you've got to be making waves. And that means you're going to be saying things that you probably shouldn't be saying and engaging in ways you shouldn't be engaging in order to get attention. I think we all may be surprised by Trump. I think people are expecting him to make waves. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see him come in there and try to be the statesman, try to be the leader of this group. and really cause people to scratch their heads and be, wait, he's not his bombastic normal self. And I think we could see people like John Kasich, you know, really end up being the person, you know, that does seem to be the hot-tempered one, as Kasich is known for. So I think we may be a bit surprised. I think, you know, Trump may be able to, you know, we've kind of seen him change his tone in the past, you know, week to 10 days to where he's been trying to act like a front leader of the pack, and people are really starting to think he's viable. I think he may step up to that and try to own that narrative going forward.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I love how you say that in doing that with candidates. Do you ever have any blowback from that? I mean, you're tried and true with who you've worked for. So when you advise, they're listening and saying, okay, listen, you've got to have that memorable line, right? Because we live in a 140-character world.
Oh, yeah. You got to have that dinger. You got to be able to. And every candidate will probably have those lines and those dingers, you know, ready. They, you know, you look back at, you know, when Carter was trying to make a claim at Ronald Reagan about where he stood on Medicare. Instead of saying, nuh-uh, that's not true, he said, there you go again. And simply putting it that way changed the tone of how people perceive things. It wasn't a combative, then back and forth. It was just, you know, Reagan basically being like, Carter's being Carter. You know, we can't trust what he's going to say. He's just going to lie to me and let the public believe that. So, you know, those little lines, those little zingers can really change the way a candidate is viewed, but also can change the course of the debate and the outcome of the race coming out of the debate. But with this race being 17 ways from Sunday, basically, you know, it will be hard to see if anyone can really make a big gain coming out of here. I think you can lose big. I think big gains are going to be harder to come by.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I get a lot of calls on America Tonight and talking about polling and saying, well, why do we care about the polls? But this is a clear case of why you care about the polls, because if you're behind one of the candidates, you're running their campaign, they have to jump in whatever sampling it is. It doesn't matter. So they could have made it on that main stage of the 10. So polling is significant, isn't it?
Polling is significant. I think polling has seen its challenges over the course of the past few years, and will probably continue to see its challenges as we move away from the landline and more folks are online or on their cell phones. And, you know, some people aren't willing to take those polls. I think we're going to see the challenges to polling, but at the end of the day, you know, it does give you a good sense of where the race is at.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hey, Gretchen, last one. In looking at the Republicans, who do you think the top three are right now?
Oh, I think the top three, I mean, you got to give Trump some credit for what he's been able to do, and I think you see Bush there, and I think you see Walker and Rubio coming up from behind.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch what happens on Thursday and then see where we go from there for sure. Gretchen Hamill, thanks.
I would say John Kasich is a dark horse.
Yeah,
dark horse,
me too.
So watch for him to try to make some waves on Thursday night to really launch himself up.
Plus, he'll have the crowd. Plus, he'll have people that'll jump for him. And that'll make a big difference, too, as you know, because what you didn't have in this little New Hampshire thing that happened the other night, that forum was way different. It wasn't debate style anyway. And this, in this case, in Ohio, it's going to be a way different animal. And I think you're going to hear a lot from the audience on some of the things that the candidates say, too.
Completely agree.
Yeah. Gretchen, it was fun. We'll talk to you again. Gretchen Hamill, the founder and president of Highline Strategies and a contributor to townhall.com. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, Peter Porcaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE
for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code George if you decide to connect with someone you like.